Good morning, everybody. My name is Janita Flothers-Lowden. I'm also a member of the committee and from the DA.
Madam Chair, honourable members, and good morning. I am Kofi Mwangola, the deputy of the election commission and of this committee.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Martin Mokahi, Special Advisor to the Minister.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Lisa Frederick. I'm from the Office of the Media.
I see that I forgot Tandu, from the Assistant of the Town. I didn't see he was facing Tandu and I was okay. Right there, Eddie Berg, right? Let's see who is Eddie Berg.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. Good morning, Honourable Members. Honourable guests, my name is Chris Luna from Senate.
Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Megan and I'm from PNG.
Good morning all. Michelle O'Connor from Media 24.
Good morning, everyone. Kevin Boy from the Eastern Cape, a company called African Converge Network Consulting Firm.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Sharon Natu. I'm the Voluntary Liaison Officer for the Department of Transport Technology.
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Members. What we'd like to do is to give a little bit of background of this draft field, and then we'll go through what is the problem that the bill is trying to solve, the purpose of the legislative process of the consultation that we undertook, and give three elements and the provisions of the bill with the understanding that the people are already. Right, so
What we are recommending is that you must keep this respect together throughout the time when we keep with this because all this all of this condemning the principle being refers to all this so that in future when we meet it should be whenever we come across a certain section we can say that I don't have this, it's all complained here, so it's just one batch. You must always pull it together whenever we need. But I need to accept objects. Thank you very much, Chair. So, just to give a bit of a background, in 2012, which is last year, we embarked on the process to review the legislative provisions dealing with the cooperation of the government of the Defence Council with the Board of Trade Ministers. We did this because we felt there were delays that were experienced in the process of appointing or replacing members of boards to such countries to the minister. And therefore the purpose of the legislative review exercise was to identify those factors that were causing inefficiencies in the operation of the government to such countries. The following factors in the review process were identified as contributing factors. One, the cumbersome process for the appointment of a number of boards and the feeling of vacancies if some of board members either resigned in the process and we apologize for this very narrow feeling to us. Inconsistency in the process of appointment and determination of service conditions for CEO, we found that one group of science conference or others in the manner in which the appointment of CEOs and service conditions that determined was different from others and we wanted to then see whether these inconsistencies can be addressed. The inconsistencies in the process for the extension of the term of office of members of this board, sometimes other boards were 3 years and sometimes there was no provision for a certain number or process for how to then extend the term of office and the grounds for disqualification and termination of membership. And some of the deals we found that there were provisions for disqualifying people who are not attending meetings or the need to terminate their membership on the board. So the purpose hopefully of this deal is to streamline the processes for the appointment of members of boards or councils and again stabilize the feeling of vacancies in order to enhance the efficiency. Harmonize the process for the appointment of the chairpersons of boards, councils, and CEOs to ensure consistency. Just to go back to the first bullet point, what we found is that, for instance, on two occasions, we found that in the appointment of boards, we did not have members in some of these boards who had certain expertise, especially financial expertise. And to then fill that position sometimes would take I think up to about 4 or 5 weeks just to fill the position, just to give an example. And then we also hopefully would like to provide for the dissolution and reconstitution of the boards an extension of their term of office in order to strengthen the governance of these institutions that we want to do. So in terms of the process, the draft bill was published for public consultation in the Government Gazette in June 2013, and then there were stakeholder consultations on the bill, predominantly the science centers that were affected by the proposed changes. We reviewed comments and then we advised the draft in August, and then in September we took it to the cabinet, and then the bill was certified by state law advisors in October 2013. And then was now being introduced to public. So these are the institutions that provide comments on the thing, the South African Council for Natural Scientific Professions, SACNAS, National Health Foundation, Academy of Science, South Africa, the senior lecturer from the this stage. In our view, the comments generally dealt with technical issues relating to the operations of these entities and we tried to address all of them with the relevant stakeholders and dealers also now do welcome back to the stakeholders.
So just to give a flavor of some of the proposed specific changes in the scientific research conduct of 1998, at the moment there is no mechanism in the bill that provides for the appointment of the directors by the minister. The members themselves, or the members of the board, after the minister may have appointed.
Therefore, this parliament is very notorious of the problem because of by itself.
Okay, we'll see. So the members of the board will be appointed, and it will be the board that will appoint the chairperson. So we've got this was in the board. So this bill now provides for the appointment of the chairperson by the minister. And then streamlining the process, the appointment of the board members of the board across the entire family of these entities. Attention of the chair of office of members of the board, if necessary, the bill didn't make provision for this. And then, of course, also set out grounds for the justification of members of the board, provides for the dissolution and reconciliation of the board. If for some strange reason, for whatever reason, the minister feels that the board has not fulfilled its mandate, responsibilities, or responsibilities, and then of course harmonizes the process of appointment and determination of conditions of service of the chief executive officer. For the NRF, we're making a proposal for cross board representation, of cross institutional representation, and we are requesting or suggesting that two additional members of the board be sourced from the National Advisory Council on Innovation and then the Council on Higher Education, because of the interface between what the NRF does in funding research at institutions of higher learning and the policies that the Council on Higher Education develops and needs to monitor the performance of the higher education institution. Same, streamline the process for the appointment of members of the board, extension of the term to be similar to the others, grounds for determination, membership of the membership of the board, and then the dissolution and the reconstitution of the board. The Academy of Science of South Africa, the recommendation is that provide for the extension of the term office of the members of the council if this is necessary. The Natural Scientific Professions Act streamlines the process for the appointment of members of the council, harmonize the process for the appointment of the CEO, provision for the extension of the term of office of board members if they have some scandals, dissolution the constitution, relaxes the membership requirement for professional registration for state employees. The third is also a bit onerous in terms of respecting state employees as well to be registered as scientists according to this act, because the feeling was that they were not really doing the work that would need to regulation because they were not providing their services and their workers contracting to the rest of the public. HSRC Act streamlines the process for the appointment of members of the board, extension of the term, dissolution of the constitution, as well as harmonize the process for the appointment and determination of conditions of the CEO. And then the Technology Innovation Agency, again, streamlines the process for the appointment, harmonize the process for the appointment of the CEO, provide the mechanism to ensure broad representativity of the board, extension of the term, and then the dissolution of the constitution of the board. The Space Agency, process for the appointment of the members of the board, harmonize the process, the appointment and determination of the conditions of service for the CEO, and provides for the dissolution of the constitution. So the high level chair, those are the proposed amendments to the Act, so coming the appointment of the board members, the CEO, the dissolution of the constitution. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. That's the short presentation of our meeting. I now allow you to interact. Comment, input, questions.
Chair, Honourable Members, Mr. Gatt again. Good morning. I think first and foremost, thank you to the people, the elegance, the manner in which we have been before us. Particularly the issue of streamlining. First, when I emphasized what the draft, I just couldn't understand what is missing that this is to address. And thank you very much for the clarity, because I think it's to our efficiency and also the accountability to the shareholder, as I understand it. However, the issue of public participation in our city, that on page 5 of the presentation, it will indicate that the draft bill was published for public consultation in government today. What I'm interested just to find out is whether there has been any input from the public out there as around, because I know that these concerns the stakeholders that matters, and indeed they came up with certain proposals that was addressed. I'm happy with that. In other words, they were taken care of. Only thing that I'm now, whether in fact there were no tools that matters that actually submitted any proposal to determine this or whether there has been any difference in that regard. The last one, sir, again, on the face of it, no problem. Perhaps now it's the legal fully next to you. Better to be able to respond to this question. Is an assertion that according to the state law at once, the opinion is not necessary to refer these things to the National House of the National Leaders, which are the applicable legislation. I'm not so sure whether these scientific things are not relevant to the institution. Bearing in mind that science by itself is cut across, and in our knowledge, you know, many other things that have been impact. That's on the face of it. I'm in that field there. That's my comfort. You see, whether.
I think you are dealing now with what is supposed to be a parliamentary section of it, because we as parliament,
yeah,
we still have to then a public representative, still have to invite the type of input once it is interesting introduced to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is the final phase before they take it to the cabinet. The stakeholders that they consulted with. But we here since just in table now in Parliament, we still have to do a lot of courses with the public hearings and other things. We have to do a first time and ask the public to come and do the legislation.
The point I was making is that there was a publication of the draft in the government gazette with the norm. I was just trying to find out whether there has been any before the process, because that is their process. And on the last one, is because at the last of the, which is normal again, of the visitor, of the business, it is not necessary to refer the deal to the House or whatever. Which is normal. I'm just asking whether. Bear in mind that we might as well follow the process, parliamentary process, with the norm. That is only my chair. Thanks for the mention.
Which I would like to maybe the president could teach you. membership, but is that that's now brought to the that doesn't take away our at the end, we have got a responsibility. So it's that. I think for me it's important to show I think it's all about power and responsibility. That's what I have. The second question is, that now the existing, we have the correct intuition that all the entities that are the basis in the act, just what I'm reading, all entities of them to this about the racial. I don't want us to assume. We don't want to assume, and again, we are then taken by the surprise. So if I did not understand, then it's correct that I think there was a
thank you, Chief. My first question is the general question. Was this really a process of comparing the different entities and their acts and to bring them all in line? Or let me ask the second question on how do these changes compare with how it is done by other departments? In other words, how will this compare then eventually with how it's been done by other departments? And then on the fourth slide, you refer to inconsistencies in the process. Could you give us an example or elaborate on that second bullet? Also, then. And the length of the extension of the term of office. I think I've got a further question. What is the ideal length or time of term? How many years for such an entity? Because you want to bring it all in line. And then also, that question was also on slide 9. The same question. And how do you determine the length of the so many years for a term for a specific board? How do you determine? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Mine will be on page 8, the key provisions. I just want the DG to clarify for me. I will not recommending this bill, giving too much power to the minister to appoint, hire, and fire, and create and such loopholes for imperfectly.
My only one question to you is that many entities were found that they have never actually moved the times into the post 1994 constitution, and the majority of them is what they said. Are we not facing a situation where again we will have to amend it and this very, very big to comply with the post-1994 constitution?
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members. So, the first question about the public out there, when we were also disappointed that we didn't receive anything,
the only one that we received, as we saw on the slide, was this professor from the University of New Jersey, who was comparing with the idea of what forced registration of the shrine is at the university or if they are in the public domain, with the assumption that there are other mechanisms to regulate our activities if we work in government or if people are working in universities, they have ethics probably, and therefore it's the responsibility of the university to make sure that the services that are offered by the scientists to the public teaching, in this case with either the students, are regulated by the institutions. I think that's the only one that we receive as far as we're concerned. Now, the second question, when we compare with this state law about it, because if it was, for instance, the suit generous being like AS would agree that that bill would probably then need to go to the House of Traditional Leaders. Here it's more of the governance rather than the performance of the research activities within these institutions. So that would be our situation of where that's why we agree to that. To respond to Honourable Dumba, the second question, audience is opposing subjected to this, the answer is yes. Because what we found, that, as you saw in the various papers, term of boards with 3 years out of the 5 years. We find that the appointment of CEO, sometimes these appointments were done by the institutions, and then they would inform the minister some of the appointments the minister would have to concur in the appointment of the CEO. So this is really harmonizing the processes. The oversight and the powers of the minister, maybe I can take those questions together. Our view is that the minister will appoint the board. And the performance of the institution through the board, which is now juridic person, is then held accountable by the minister, who takes full responsibility of the board. Should the minister feel that the board is not performing its duties, the portfolio committee parliament, my understanding, chair, is that you have a number of instruments to make sure that you have an oversight responsibility. The first one, my recollection, is that the strategic plans and the APPs of these entities are actually approved by themselves. Now there, the budget and the programs of these entities, you subject these entities to a rigorous process before you sign off, or at least make sure that the minister signs off with your, if you like, approval. They come and account to you at the end of the year with the annual report, where they come and indicate whether what they had set out at the beginning of the year has been done. And that meant we also, of course, in our annual report, also ensure that our annual report has the broad ESG programs, but it also has the performance. So we also, my sense, Chair, is that the minister will do that. I think even in that stage, the committee still does have a role to play in the functions and the functioning of.
Maybe I ought to remember, if I catch that question clearly, she's trying to say, yeah, it's an instrument of parliament which is, say, you say, for instance, an annual report. An annual report shows CSIR to be claimed to have no findings, to have nothing, which means that, therefore, the administration has performed absolutely well. But here we hear the minister dissolving the board because of some reason that the minister is not satisfied with the performance of the board. Now, we as parliament, we don't have that oversight tool now because the minister has got a legislation that actually is operating within which he's operating, which is what happened in the past, by the way. The other minister, he used the law to something which we felt that the committee was wrong. And
I think that is what the member is trying to talk about, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
I just want to put a thing to the chairman who responded. The other scenario would be, your chairman, as family, as the technology, is a board where he can tell that the minister and the CEO and the board are informed about it. That is the thing. are we then to the office of the chair, to the minister, say, do we want to, that's all we go over to. So we visit that for so those are the two scenarios. One that the chair has alluded to, and the, this one that the worst case scenario. And then it comes out of responsibility as time in the community.
I'll say what the issue again may make as another clarification of what the SSC is referring to. For instance, within the SSC, the SSC board has been this juncture between the board and the CEOs. So there was an internal conflict. And how does the parliament enter that? Because this is the, I think that's what the number is.
Thanks, Chair. I've confronted with the legal aspects, so I'll give you that part, and then we will talk about the legal interpretation of how the portfolio codes in Parliament and its relationship with the Minister. Our understanding is that the Minister is still accountable to Parliament, and therefore there is, in our view, nothing that would prevent the portfolio committee, in particular in this case, to ask the minister to come and account to you if there were issues, whether it's that are in public domain that seem to suggest a breakdown in the functioning of the board or the breakdown in the relationship between. In fact, my sense is that the minister will be willing to come and brief you in before these things go out in the public domain and what measures is put in place to address the issues. So the legal aspect is once to quote some specific part of the law that allows you to do that to the field it's necessary.
But before you quote something, we have an experience in this committee where the minister was acted within law by a patient of conditions of parliament which were very much according to the matching of the bill, no matter of the bill of the act. According to the Act, members identified two members of the board who were not eligible. But the minister acted according to law that governed that Act. And suddenly granted the members, didn't even have to tell the members that I'm making that news to continue with it. There's just been nothing that came from them. Now, the minister acted within law. When we tried for another government, but within law, she has jurisdiction, which is provided by the Act, that to do that. Though it is against oversight, that it's been locked in the right to what it's done. That's what we're talking about.
Thanks, Chair. I think this issue goes to the core of the principle of separation of powers between the armies of the state. Which we believe basically says that the legislature is responsible for making of laws and all other legislative aspects and the executive, you know, for governance and for justice, judiciality, the justice administration part of things. But the principle basically says that each arm of government should not intervene in the affairs of the other arm of government. The scheme of government is that the parliament has oversight responsibility over the exercise of executive authority by the executive, meaning that the minister, which is the executive, will exercise the executive in terms of government and our understanding is that also the process of appointment of the board, of members of the board, the steps in the agencies that implement the executive mandate is the executive function, which is the responsibility of the minister. Whilst we accept that the legislature should be kept in the loop and should, you know, be you know, aware all the time of who serves in what capacity, which was, but the actual and actual spirituals of the rest with the minister. And that does not mean that the power of parliament in terms of oversight is being eroded. The parliament retains that. It's just the appointment process of the members of the workers. We believe that if the parliament gets more and more involved in that process, it compromises its oversight responsibilities because it's supposed to look after the exercise of the powers of the executive and as for the right and mandate to call on the executive, the minister, to account for the exercise of powers, meaning its government, both its department and also its responsibilities towards the executive that implement the mandate of the department. So our understanding is that parliament has got that right always to, if there are things that it have that are not going according to the mandate and what the parliament has approved in terms of discharge of the functions by the executive, then it's got a responsibility to call on them. And it's got also the responsibility to call also on the actually, you know, the boards or heads of those entities that are established by the acts of parliament that the parliament would have approved to account to each and exercise and explain, you know, all the processes. And if any intervention is to be done, obviously the minister would be, you know, obviously instructed if they should depart from what the mandate, you know, the exercise of the mandate was given to the minister.
As far as our concern is on MCO, the whole thing is the candidates of are set by department, by president, appointed by minister. And we only took the list that is actually a recommendation from the department, from the panel, from the panel of the minister, appointed by the minister. And while it was only that one occasion where actually the board member, that time it was in a panel in excessive number, it was executive board, where then members felt that this board consisted of two members who were not eligible to be in the board. And then the committee then made the necessary recommendations that instead of these two names, which is something that has never happened before, but because there were terrible problems with those two members, known from parliament and the committee, then the committee decided, you know, we will not be able to endorse this list because of these two names. Instead, parliament went to try to get more CVs that, because they were, the parliament had not been given the whole total list, but also only given a number of people that from the total to acquire the total war. So the parliament used that same information from the ministry to then pick up two other names. That were very distinguished names to fit in those two vacancies those two candidates. And the minister didn't come back.
Now we thought that you were
asked by the same committee some time before. And then the committee was very honest because they said the minister neglected not your comments or your findings because it's allowed by law, which is passed by you. Yet here in Parliament, after 1994, this is what you have been using. This is how the committee must constitute legislation which supports the government of all. So it came from there that the committee decided to apply some of its statutes that are existing in the government in the office of the Secretary of Relations and Assembly. So I'm trying to just give you a number of reasons that you know where the committee comes from. We're not for now against what is happening, but we want you to know exactly where this is come from, why the committee is raising some of these issues, because we have an experience that has happened before. I'm not saying that it's going to happen.
Thanks, Chair. same issue, Chair. Thank you. And I apologize for being late. I had another meeting. I've got to go to another one. It's not happening yet. I
think the invitation area is on that. Going to be in this one because we need to adopt a report. We need to be a forum.
There's a parliamentary budget for the 11:30 has to be in there. And then I apologize.
We must bring them back place now.
Okay. Chair, obviously, we discussed that. That was the key issue, in fact, I picked up when I read the bill myself, the exclusion of the committee and the press room. Now, I think the department's answer to that issue now is to prevail of legality and constitutionality of it, as if the scheme of things necessitates that. Now, that's a pretty false view, in my humble opinion. It's a policy. The issue is, do we as a committee want to be part of the process or not? If not, we're possible as is. If we said we want to be involved, then we simply put an amendment in which says that to the extent to which we want to be involved, we indicate that as an amendment. I would recommend that approach, actually. I think it's being quite beneficial and healthy that the committee is part of the process. We don't interfere in their actual choice, no, but this whole issue of being part of the shortlisting, evaluation, and so on, does no harm to the department whatsoever. It doesn't need to slow things down. And I think the crafting of this bill in a way which excludes that completely is in fact a bit of a snub. The bill is today, it may not be intended snub, but it is one, and I would certainly argue that we should put it back in to the extent that we want it, and I think we do want it. Thanks.
My question is, looking onto it, because it links to what Honourable Smith said, how does it compare with the other departments?
I'm not able to comment on the policy that the particular committee maybe should take on this matter, but I agree with you. Our interpretation of the involvement of the process, just to go back to the issue that I think Brian was trying to explain, our interpretation of the role and the functions of the executive vis-a-vis the legislature. So, now, coming back to Honourable Clovis Lawrence, what we have checked, and I think Martin has done an analysis, not so much with other departments, but with other public entities that do not report to the Ministry of Science and Technology, such as the MRC meeting. This process of the portfolio committee's involvement is not included in the government of course. Now, in terms of the other government department entities, what we find is that depending on the type of the entity that I think we're referring to here, and I've asked Brian to talk about, is that there are entities which are called charter management entities, in which the appointment of boards is done, and the parliament is involved in those, and others which are not charter nine, the general analysis of in those non-charter nine institutions, involvement of committees is generally not part of the process. And then you raise a question on the fourth slide about the inconsistencies. The inconsistencies are that in certain instances, even within this process where the portfolio committee is involved, in certain instances, the appointment of the board members is in consultation with the committee, and in certain instances, after consultation. And therefore, we try to understand what are the principles that drive in consultation and what are the processes that drive after consultation. So the idea that is to try and find consistency. And then the third question was the length of... I think good governance suggests that it is useful for board members to serve maybe 3 to 5 years as a term, with a possibility of renewing that to the second term. The other principle is that beyond the second term, to keep people in the board, you start not having new people with new ideas. So the idea is that people should serve for 2 terms, that's the principle. The second principle is that at least you need to have continuity between one board and another board. And the general rule of thumb is that a third of the members of the previous board stay, so that in terms of decisions that have to be taken and made, people don't end up taking decisions of things that were discussed. So I think those are the two sort of principles that come in the appointment of the board.
I think Honourable Andrews' question and his policy needs some time to address this matter. And then, Mr. Trump has put to the issue of we're not moving to postmaster and before, maybe on the left script he can respond to that. So I think that, that more or less covers all and then we said once later.
I think that the legislation that is administered by the department is in our view now encapsulated now the principles of or the spirit of the constitution. There was an amendment the first signed and similar amendment bill that was approved by this committee about 2 years ago, which its principal aim was to ensure that it is in line now with the new constitutional imperatives. So we effected in a number of amendments to ensure that in this way it was not in line with the new constitutional imperatives they are now. So we believe that most or if not all our arms of this issue for the of the Japanese countries are like the our constitution as well.
What you have missed here is that most what you have missed for Arizona members because this has from direct discussions with law experts. The reality is that most of the appointments of boards and such entities are not aligned with the post-1994 constitution. Mostly throughout this, and just outside of Sanskrit, throughout this. So with that, we are greater with the group. So we are kind of an exception, which arose out of recent difficulties. Minister of the time. And that's why then the critical to the National Assembly to tell us this. But in that, generally speaking, most other boards have been appointed by as of April 1994. So therefore if that is the case, we are correct. But all that's needed every time is how are we going to, because actually when we chose our category of was in conversation. It was informed by the fact that we could do what one category was that we could do as the chapter 9 institutions are conducting. But even in such a choice that is allowed in institutes that is here in Parliament, the chapter 9 institutions and the constitution allows them for the Parliament to be in charge of. Then there is another conversation. They are all here. Probably the legal advisor to Parliament, parliamentary law advisor, can get us those copies because they are here. When is it after conversation? Why is it after conversation? And when is it only parliamentary to follow? It brings us out there. Now, what we are saying is that we are interested, we agree to the argument that we are an exception because many other entities are not of that direction. But what we are worried about is that are we not maybe, what if Parliament decides in the next step that now Parliament is going to strengthen this thing according to post-1994 constitution. And we will have to re-amend those what we are doing back. We are operating as an exception. The role which is obtained throughout the entire, which is why we must operate like the whole system operates in government. And so in ESCOM, all of them, Transnet, all of them, they are not government in the way we do. It is still a burden for us, by the way, to create all those civil and other things, but that's why we have to return that if the department must do all the things, we will only look into. Simply looking into the list that comes from the department
and see if there are no irregularities that happened in the past where some people who were not supposed to be there were appointed. And then we had a comment that but those two names were not supposed to be there, but by virtue that they defeated the act itself, the requirements of the act. So what we are saying now, I'm saying that no, I agree with everything that you do, but we need the clarifications here and there in terms of what if this happens, what if that happens, and so forth. Now what we are saying is that what if Parliament decides that probably when actually the next time Parliament in 2040 decided no. Because there is already here in Parliament a feeling in the Chairperson's Forum and the Strategy Committee that the entire system needs to be overhauled, needs to be done as we have done. The appointment of boards must of all entities, not on the system, they must be governed by a common understanding. Of course, we understand that. There are even complications to make a common understanding of different entities of different departments. It's going to be a nightmare for Parliament to live into that. So what we are saying therefore now is that let us agree on a few things that can be agreed upon and let us hear what the public also will feel because we still have to take it to the public and then let us agree on those things.
I wait for them. I'll come. I'll have to come. But then,
the more people that I see in school, the more you know.
Did that have gone to be my point?
I think that people and the economy are the same. The more they speak, the more you then really understand what you understood, what you have taught that is starting. And I do think that in my view, I don't think it's that complicated. It's just that I wrote my head, the time that my head was up was that I would have thought, now I pick up the Quran, I was correct that they were assisted by saying, in fact, not all countries border the same. Now those are border the land which lost its place. And you have made your homework in also taking on other boards in other departments and other entities, which then I think in ourselves is for that responsibility. But we, at some point we have always come up with this thing that the first of all, the FTA is saying after consultation, this thing of us having bucks and bucks of documents, but at the end, the minister will. So, but I do think that but it's critical if I'm reading correctly, but it doesn't mean that as Parliament in this instance we don't have the responsibility. As you said that our powers have been eroded. Maybe it's how sharp, how effective are we going to be so that is not then being respected. Whether it is whoever is the minister at the time, whoever is the chairperson of the board at the time, but I think the ball and the responsibility and our role is to ensure that we assert our authority and we are sharp in picking up and then be able to say, can the minister come? What is this thing that is happening? Yes, I think the chair is correct. We have got a number of challenges right across, which what he has said in my view. It's also another debate that as members of Parliament, right across in all committees, we are going to engage on it because it touches into the core. How transformed is this? So it touches into our responsibility in ensuring that Parliament is then green, the transformation in Parliament is then green, taking place. So I think that was the issue is that your homework and that telling us that, you don't fall under chapter 9. And therefore, I think that they have done. To what extent, I'm not quite sure, but I'm listening to the DG. I do think that exercise they have done.
Thanks, Jen. On the issue, I think we as a committee obviously need a discussion ourselves on what we consider desirable. Other than that, I don't think there's much of any contention in the bill, which leads to the other issue, one is a process for passing the bill, which is, I'm asking this question arising from what you said, Chair, because if it's the intention that we take this to public comment, then I presume the bill will put the agenda to the end, because it will take 2 weeks, you're going to give 2 weeks notice, and in 2 weeks time you're going to be in the session. So if you're going to go with the public participation route, the bill will put the agenda for the year. On the other hand, since there's nothing really that I think we require much for the public participation in, since we were able to process it ourselves, the processing, other than one policy issue, I mean, is a 5-minute process. You say yay to everything here roughly, I think. We add one clause that we want to learn about ourselves. And we go through, so again, then the bill goes through the year, and then it's promulgated in due course. So I don't know, we must also talk about that route, because one meeting was possible this year, one meeting was possible next year. Well, I'm happy that Chair answered it, so.
You must bring somebody for the quorum of we need someone to vote for you.
This is 500
okay, no, let's listen to our parliamentary political advisor for a minute.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. I would just say on the issue that was raised now of private participation, just to caution the committee, in terms of the Constitution places the private participation responsibility clearly on Parliament. When the Department for Public Comment, they have no constitutional obligation to do so, that's a prerogative almost, and to inform their policy development. If Parliament does not allow for a form of public participation in voting the bill, the bill will be invalid and the Constitutional Court has pronounced on that in Dr. Silva. The Constitutional Court has already said that it is for Parliament to decide what form the public participation will take. And the content and context of the bill will then inform the public participation. So it doesn't always have to be extensive with months of deliberations and numerous calls. A call for something, if it's a technical bill, in a short process, the committee can, for example, only then look at business submissions, especially if there's no need for actual public consultations and presentations. That's for the committee to guide the process. But there's no way that a committee can scratch the idea of a form of public involvement.
Your point is the words out of my mouth because from an institutional member I wanted to say we have an obligation as Parliament to our constitutional procedures that once at the previous last year we need to advertise it to the public in form of media, and if we receive no more than 5 submissions, post probably the submission is highly technical, and we can go ahead without any problem here. But if we receive some input from the public, that should suggest that they got a concern, whether technical or not, we need to call them to come and participate. So that's just a provision. So we are obliged, therefore, once it is now before us, that Sanat is going to do that kind of an address and ensure that we have put it in a bit of a long technical community, but if there's any opportunity to get the public comment, that would be so. And then, taking from the response of the public, that is only when you know that. Your Honourable Smith doesn't want to make that suggestion. That's unfortunate, they may be tedious for the Constitutional Court.
If you double the 3 to 6 years as opposed to 10 years to 2 terms, it's quite different. So what is the book? Because we haven't read the book yet. What is the proposal in the book? How is the term and is it properly researched? Why specifically the 5 years or 3 years?
What the bill actually deals with is
it is not the issue of the terms of office of the board was harmonized in the previous standards of social and minor fields. Now all institutions are, I think they are roughly about 4 or 5 years term with a maximum of 2 terms. But what we're providing for here is, because now we have recommended in order to retain some members of the board when others leave, some sort of staggered process of board appointment, that when others, when the term of the board expires, then some members have to be retained, then you add more members. But other than that, there are instances which have occurred, which have resulted in members of the board not being appointed at the time that they are supposed to be appointed. So some of the bills, they were provisions of the act, they were provisions for the minister to extend the term of the of either the individual board member or all members of the board beyond their prescribed term of office, just to allow for the finalization of the replacement processes, which in terms of this proposed change is limiting it at 6 months. If you serve your term for say about 6 months, but a new board has not been constituted within the period for the reposition, we allowing the minister in 6 months to extend the term of the actual board, the whole board, or any individual member of the board, or the members of the board. So the change here that we're proposing is only for a limit of 6 months beyond the prescribed term of the board to allow for those issues, which is in section of the cases where the board could not be constituted within the time period of the existing board, so that you don't have a gap.
So the second part of the question, the 3 to 5 year window is debated in good governance circles at two levels. The one is if for some reason you appoint a board that is not functional, 5 years is too long a time. You need to have the time within that period to be able for you to say you want to dissolve the board. Other proponents are saying 3 years is too little for the board to be able to do anything. That's why then you make provision for another 3 years, because you would have at least assessed as a minister whether that board is functioning in the way you want it, without being locked into a 5 year period when that board is unable to deliver what you expect it to do. So as I say, good governance suggestion of between 3 and 5 years.
Chair, I was going to make a proposal and answer some of the questions are more whether it should be the content of the bill itself, which we may have not gone through it, would it not then be appropriate that the committee would then be in charge to go through the bill and through the chair the other, that we, but we see, if I can make an example, if there is inconsistency in terms of the duration, that span of the board in one act, is the act also harmonizing that? So I do think that why don't we thank the president and the government as we will be speaking with the more judging into areas that we are not
I want to comment on what Honorable Dundra is saying, but I think it is important for the department to be around when we discuss this thing, because some of the issues that parliamentary law advisor can advise us, and the interpretation thereof is from the department, and they can clarify things. So I don't know whether it's possible that they can be around when we discuss this issue.
See, when I was on higher education, we also had a association with a few boards, and they came with a presentation
where they've guided us through the bill as opposed to the act. Because we've got a lot of documentation here. So I would like to suggest a presentation coming from you people in collaboration with the other entities to come up with a presentation to guide us, as opposed to you sitting around trying to answer new questions. Thank you.
I think honourable member, I can try and clarify on this. But that's a process that was called cultural as committee ourselves. So that this session is just a brief. It's just like that it must be a brief from the department on the overall aim of the bill, the process and so forth. And then after that we come back to our own processes where we now sit down and discuss pros and cons of the bill. We agree what the honourable speaker was saying, we agree about what we want to do with the bill as a committee, and we then follow constitutional processes as to advertise also in appropriate media, and please give dedicated constitutional time for that purpose, so that we get public response. If by a certain date we have not got the public response, then we then agree what we do then about the bill. So that's when they come to take us through the bill, which is not a problem, it is part of that process. So they then come, once we feel that people have agreed what we want, then we discuss the bill and then we'll change whatever we want to change the bill for this, what we want. That's how it goes. Okay. Are there any things to say?
I think I agree with you, Chair, but for now, we'll fix this. If other than we'll mull over this, what I'm going to say, so that when we come back, they'll be armed. I think the issue that was debated at length around the oversight role of Parliament will revolve around what we term jurisdictional facts. In other words, when there's a discussion on the part of the minister to perform a function, and is he taking demographics and everything like that, just putting together that, it would be clear, it would give a wrong context. When I was seeing oversight go, we'll be able to say, well, the Honourable Minister attempted to correct it in the circumstances. They say if there is any dispute between the Council and whatever the Minister, then it will be brought to our attention to public representatives. That will be. So that I think what I'm trying to say is that first, is there no way that you will be able to couch this discretionary powers of the Minister such that those that oversee the ministry will be able to strengthen, and that in the circumstances of the minister that is correct. Bearing in mind, of course, I think that you won't have the bureaucracy in all such things, so that if there is anything, neither of you decide to do those things, so that at least those councils can act properly. That's the man over that is one that they have indicate last.
Okay, I'll make some clarification there.
Yes.
Since the bill is before Parliament now, it is no longer anybody's responsibility except as the Parliament Committee. When the Speaker is released from his office to this committee, all of the talking about is supposed to be our responsibility. It's no longer the Department, the Minister, the Cabinet have no longer any role except us. We have to work it the way we want. We have to put in the people when we let out. We have to send it back if we think that the work there is not correct. So it's now the discussion of the committee only to do what it wants to do with the bill. Everything, the briefing helps us to understand what happened in the cabinet, what happened before it went to the cabinet. And now when it is here before us, it is us who must sit down as another speaker. We need to sit down and agree what we want to do. What we want in the bill, and we have to agree on all of those things with the assistance of ethical advisors, the state and state law advisors. Then we need, and once we finalize what we want to do, we may want to invite the department and say, now we want to go through this with you, and then we go through with them in the world to think that things are mundane, and then we go through that and we find common ground, and then we go. But the pain now is before us, it is solely our pain. It's our pain. We cannot assign any fault on it now. If we need to do that, we need probably to clarify the other second that we can call it. So the pain will stay with us for as long as we want, and it will move out of us for as early as we want. But the pain is yet to stay with us now. That's all what we need to do. That is exactly what the role of Parliament is in terms of this space. We are here to participate. Now, I think at this juncture, I think I have a reason to say that I need to thank the department for having availed themselves all the way from the tournament to the Boston Springer. But from now onwards, this is going to be our baby. We will call it as a non
very much also the legal advice for everyone here. As a result, we always need your presence in our office campus.
I think what I'm going to do about the Roger, we need to deal with the VR report. We need to adjust to the point.
Thank you.